Welcome to this sensory trail for Marwell Zoo. The following information will take approximately 15 and a half minutes to listen to. This trail will point out the most useful enclosures for someone who wants a sensory experience. For example, someone who is visually impaired. I will mention the sounds, smells, and environments you may encounter on your visit. I will begin my route on the side of the zoo which gets the sun when it is out. However, to avoid the crowds if very busy, or find relief from the heat, you could reverse the route, beginning in the shade during the hotter part of the day, and working your way round to the other side as the temperature cools. Let's go! Upon arrival at the zoo entrance, you will be greeted with general sounds, designed to remind you that you are leaving behind the Hampshire countryside. Continue forward from the ticket office until you hear the waterfall on your left in the Humboldt penguin enclosure. Most action happens when the colony is fed their fish, 3:30 p.m. in the summer and 3 p.m. in the winter. There are also regular talks given about the penguins, usually at feeding time. Please note, this area can get quite busy, so it may help to return later in the afternoon, after their feed. Next, along the tarmac road, on the right, are the flamingos, which can be heard honking away to each other in the flock. Inside the giraffe house, the floor is rubberized matting, and there is an instant echoing acoustic from the high roof. The distinctive smell, though not unpleasant, will hit you straight away, but you may have to be a little more patient to hear the occupants. When almost empty, at the beginning and end of the day, this exhibit provides a moment of tranquility, suitable for peaceful reflection, and on hotter days, respite from the sun. If it is quiet and the giraffes are inside, you may hear them walking slowly through the straw in their enclosure, or browsing from their high mangers, suspended tree branches. They are separated from you only by some low fencing instead of glass, so are fairly easy to hear. Opposite the Amur leopard enclosure, you come to wild explorers, housing scimitar-horned oryx, grevy zebra, and white rhino. There are a few things that may be of interest here, some just inside the entrance, and one at the far end by the exit. Enter through the automatic entrance doors, and immediately on your left is a wall scattered with raised animal footprints. These cutouts allow you to explore the difference between the paw prints of cheetah and lion, and the cloven-hooved grevies and plain zebras, oryx, black and white rhino, and most surprising in its scale, the African elephant. The details of the cloven-hooved prints may be hard to make out, but they should give you an idea of scale relative to each other. Please be aware that the footprints are not particularly robust. While you are here, you will be immersed in the African bush, with background sounds of hooves, munching grass and snorting. Behind you, and freestanding, are floor-to-ceiling glass panels, one in front, and two more slightly behind, one to either side. They all have black silhouettes of acacia trees on them, but you can feel the outline of the trees best on the reverse of the two identical side panels. Just beyond the next automatic door to the first outside section, on the left is a cutout of a grevy zebra, side view, mounted on the wall. It is slightly larger than life size, and a couple of feet off the ground. It has two rectangular frames within the body, with information about people who have adopted zebras. Now, go back the way you came, past the footprints, and out through the entrance door. Turn right along the tarmac, towards the meerkats. We will return to wild explorers shortly. The meerkats live in an area of rocks, scrubby vegetation cover, and sandy gravel, surrounded by a wooden stockade fence, which allows you to get close to them. They do scrabble and squeak, so like other enclosures, you will hear them best when it is quiet, which for this exhibit is usually late afternoon. Just behind the meerkats, you will find the Addax house. On the wall inside, between two of the porthole-like windows, are two sculptures, one of an Addax and one of a Dorcas gazelle. Both are raised a foot off the ground and are to scale. An adult Dorcas gazelle is only about half the size of a fully grown addax. The coat of the addax is brown and white, but its main features are its spiralling horns and large ears. The horns of the Dorcas, however, are slender, with the grooves closer together than those of the larger addax. Head out across the road towards the tiger. The exit of wild explorers is on the right by the playground. Bear in mind that this is not marked clearly, and you will be entering the exhibit against the flow at busy times. Before you reach the exit door, you will find a magnificent carved crocodile sculpture in the playground among the bark chippings. It is to scale, and the central part of it is obscured beneath a wooden bridge, with the head out one end and the tail on the other side. It is lying right on the ground, so you will have to crouch down to feel the pointed bumps of its scaly skin. Back at Wild Explorers, there is a ranger's truck cabin you can sit in. To find it, enter through the exit door, go straight through the rhino house, and out to the watering hole. The cabin has two hard leather bucket seats with very low backs in it, and a metal table bolted between them. There is also a steering wheel. Note, this does not turn. And an array of switches, levers, and buttons to feel. There may be a queue for this, as it is popular for photo opportunities. After exiting Wild Explorers once again, walk down the side of the tiger and bear left into the okapi house. In here, you will smell something similar to the giraffes. They are related. Your chance of hearing them is small, as they are often outside. But if they are indoors, you may hear them moving or browsing. Note, there will be recorded rainforest sounds playing, which could mask the sound made by the okapi themselves. These sound effects provide atmosphere and keep the okapi calm. Now, to the tropical house. First, through curtains of sturdy black plastic strips into a darkened section. Then a second set of curtains made of thick ropes and plastic strips. As the curtains close behind you, take a moment to soak up the embracing heat and sounds of the tropics. The air is warm, and the calls of free-flying Asian glossy starling and Javan sparrow echo around the transparent domed roof. It is easy to imagine them flitting through a leafy forest canopy high above. Their chattering, backed by the soft rushing of the small waterfall, is best heard when there are fewer people about. This is likely to be just after opening, or in the late afternoon, as the tropical house is quite popular with visitors and can get very busy during the main part of the day. Follow the boardwalk until it becomes a concrete path, where the fencing resembles a roughly hand-sawn palisade with an undulating top edge. A cliff-like wall of concrete rises on your left as the path curves down and round to the right. You will find many overhanging plants along the way. From the ribbed, slightly waxy surface of the large, pointed banana leaves to the tall trunks and fronds of palms. In the lower level, the trunk of a palm rises diagonally from the ground to the upper level where you started. Its bark is made up of smooth bands alternating with rougher sections where they overlap, a bit like scales. A climber scrambles over the trunk at about head height. Here, a mossy branch sticks out, a damp cushion of green. A mix of bird calls can also be heard in the lower level too. At the base of the curving path is another set of plastic curtains, leading immediately into a much darker section, where it is a little cooler. Move through this to the final section, which houses a crocodile monitor lizard, and is quite a bit hotter. Outside, after the automatic exit door, there are hand-washing facilities on the right. Along the left side of the path leading from the tropical house and towards the aviary, there is a line of small gabions. These are metal cages filled with rocks, which are sometimes used as part of coastal defences. En route to the aviary, you could pause to feel a second crocodile sculpture. It is easier to feel than the one by Wild Explorers, being raised off the ground to about knee height. unlike the one previously described, this one has smooth, square lumps all over its back to represent the crocodile's lumpy skin. If you sit on the plinth close to its head, at the foot of the post, you can reach back to feel the tail of the carved ringtail coati climbing above you. This is not to scale. A short walk on, then push through the knotted ropes of the doorway, and you are in the aviary. A variety of birds fly freely around you. Perhaps you will hear the flapping of the northern bald ibis and hammerkopf. In the breeding season, June and July, this sound is joined by the vigorous tweeting of weavers and laughing thrush. During this time, the weavers, in particular, make the most noise in the morning, and it is best to hear them when few people are at the aviary, which is probably just after opening time. In a shelter close to the entrance, on your left, is a wooden board showing the engraved profiles of three bird species, swan, woodpecker, and curlew, with their beaks and feet shown separately, so you can compare them. It also shows the method each bird uses to feed. For example, the curlew is shown with its bill probing the mud and grabbing an invertebrate from beneath the surface. From your left, on the way into cold-blooded corner, come the persistent calls from the flock of small parrot species. While you are listening, why not walk over to feel two more life-size sculptures of a giant tortoise and a parrot? Up next is the rose, herb, and productive vegetable garden behind Marwell Hall. If it is working, the sound of a fountain may guide you to the centre, and you are allowed to touch and smell the plants. The rose garden, though small, is at its best in June. Enjoy the scents and textures of the vegetables and herbs. Why not swing in to life among the trees inhabited by the gibbons? Their whooping calls are worth hearing, though infrequent. Along the shady side of the zoo, just beyond the semi-aquatic mammal house, is a bronze hippo sculpture. It is of a pygmy hippo with its mouth open and a baby hippo between its front feet. It is a very popular photo destination for visitors, so you may just have to seize any opportunity, when people are not surrounding it, to go and have a feel. It is not quite to scale, but the sculpture gives you a fair idea of how large, proportionally, a hippo's teeth and ears are. These parts, especially, have been worn smooth by the work of many little hands. But be careful when it is sunny, as the bronze retains heat, so sitting astride the sculpture, which you are allowed to do, may not be a good option. When you sit on it or hug it and tap its sides, it echoes because it is hollow. There is also a donation slot in its mouth. When you are done with the bronze hippo, you can go down a little slope and back into the semi-aquatic mammal house. This is where the Brazilian tapir and pygmy hippos live, and you cannot fail to smell them immediately. It has two small, deep pools for them, as well as straw, and an opening to their outside area. This building is often busy, which makes it hard to hear things. But as you view them from a raised balcony-style platform, with a medium-height balustrade and no glass, you can sometimes hear a hippo snorting in the water, or a tapir moving on the straw. The next big project for Marwell is to build a new exhibit here, called Water and Wetlands. In the course of this, there may be periods of time when the bronze hippo sculpture is not accessible. Having explored the zoo, you may not realise that Marwell's reach is international, helping animals to stay wild in their native habitats with conservation projects all over the world and links to captive breeding programmes. Marwell hopes your visit will inspire you to continue understanding and caring for our natural world. Do check the website to see which talks and activities are available throughout the zoo on the day you plan to come. I recommend trying the assorted discovery tables available around the zoo on most days during the school holidays. These include animal-related objects which you can handle, and the one located in the giraffe house is the most regularly staffed. For your information, Marwell also offer annual membership. One benefit to members is getting early morning access to the park, up to an hour before it's open to the public at 10 a.m. on selected days throughout the year. This gives you the opportunity for a really quiet stretch to enjoy the animals. Although be aware that the zoo is still waking up at this time. More vehicles may be around and some mucking out may still be taking place. For inquiries, ask at the ticket office or see the website for more details. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy your sensory Marwell adventure. This sensory trail was created and produced by me, Bridget Norman, with many thanks to the animals and staff of Marwell Zoo.